There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live talks careers.
So we have three guests with us. Tim, I'm counting you as an extra guest today.
Thanks very much.
Are you all right with that?
Yeah, I love it.
No problem. So yes, we have three guests plus Tim. We have Gordon Barr, who's a partner and focusing on employment at Altamimi & Co. Gordon, good to have you back in the studio.
Good afternoon.
We also have Neil Petch, who's the chairman and founder of VirtuZone. Neil, good to see you again.
Hello.
And last but not least, we have Matt Lewis, who's a partner at Boyden. Good to have you on the programme again.
Hi, nice to be back.
So we are going to focus on careers. We've heard lots and lots on the news recently about new visa regulations and what they might mean. So lots of people are quite happy, quite excited, because they're thinking, how can I benefit from this? I guess, Neil, if we start with you first, I bet people are queuing up sort of saying, how does this work for me? How can I avail of some of these visa regulations? Because it could mean if you want to set up a new business or you're thinking of changing careers, it's good news for you.
Yeah, I think it's good news on both sides, actually. As an employer, the fact that you don't need to rush into making perhaps the wrong decision because someone's worried about their grace period running out. So you're allowed to, you can choose the right people, which I think means that we can have the right employees in the company, not to have such a transient workforce. So that's got to be good to allow you to make long-term strategic decisions.
And Gordon, if we can come to you, we've heard some of the new visa regulations, but what should we really be aware of? What things stick out to you?
Well, I think there's been a raft of positive measures that the government are looking to implement. Recently we've had part-time working announcements, 10-year visas potentially for certain professionals, and then the latest announcements around bank guarantees being replaced in respect of an insurance-backed product. So generally, as Neil says, everything's very positive and is designed to reduce costs, make business easier to do, workforce mobility and so forth. What we could do with now is some more of the devil in the detail, as it were, because whilst there's been announcements made, the laws have not yet been gazetted yet, so it's difficult to talk with conviction as to what it will mean in terms of the detail.
We're aware that the change is coming. We'll wait and see to see the exact detail in terms of how people will see their benefits perhaps changed or the ability to work here.
Exactly. And it kind of ties in with what's going on in Abu Dhabi at the moment with the stimulus package in Abu Dhabi, 50 billion dirhams over 3 years. And there are a number of employment and immigration aspects that I think that the Executive Council will address as part of that stimulus package as well. So a lot happening at once. But a lot remains to be seen in terms of the implementation side of things.
I mean, there's a concerted effort here, isn't there, to improve what are fairly robust business conditions, I suppose. But how does it work, Gordon? If we could just backtrack for a second. I mean, we have announcements like this, but how does it work from when something is announced to when it's gazetted? Is there a time frame we should look at here? I've read August the 1st for more clarity on the issue. Is there a general rule when it comes to that?
Not a general rule. It's normally within a couple of months of the announcement. My understanding is that in terms of the implementation, we're looking at it being Q3 of this year in terms of a number of the measures that were recently announced. But yeah, that's what we're led to believe.
Okay.
And Matt, would you say in terms of people thinking potentially about moving to the UAE, does this mean it's a more attractive proposition in terms of coming here for a job now?
Yeah, I think the timing is really good. I think what employees look for is confidence and stability. So if you can show them an outlook of a long-term investment in their career in one location without having to worry about renewal visas or maybe, you know, having to leave the country when they lose their job in 30 days, that's something that's been talked about for some time, but now it's there or on the horizon. So anything that adds to that long-term perspective will attract different people, especially as the global market gets more competitive.
And Neil, I guess you have lots of people coming to VirtuZone. They want to set up a business. Sometimes it can be a very small business. They're wanting that help and guidance to set it up. But if you look at some of the cost of a visa per worker now, this obviously is great if you're starting out and you're not having these costs initially.
Yeah, I think that you know, we look at this directly, how it affects us directly, and the UAE already is one of the cheapest and most efficient places to run a company once you're up and running. But the initial costs, both in terms of actual money and even more importantly in terms of time, are not where we'd like them to be. And I think that what we've seen is some announcements that are behind this, and you're going to see a lot of strategic movement that make it low touch, so things can happen faster, which will really benefit the startup organisations.
What we've seen from the announcement is 14 billion dirhams being released in terms of the worker guarantees. And we were talking about this yesterday, weren't we, NRT? If you have a company of, I don't know, you're a small startup, you've got 5 or 6 staff, all of a sudden you have effectively managed to free up 20,000 dirhams. That's paying somebody's salary, paying, I don't know, that's the costs of infrastructure in the office. There's an enormous benefit to that, I guess, Neil.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you know, the government is investing hugely in the infrastructure here, and it has its traditional methods of receiving revenue back. But this is actually breaking the model and looking at different ways. I mean, last year, $45 billion was expatriated out of the country. A large part of that could be kept in if people felt that that was more constancy. So that's really what they're trying to do, and I think that this is going to achieve that.
Matt, what would you add to that? Well, you obviously look at the market here as an employment market, but what do you think this means aside from the initial hold on a minute? And the headline here with all of us is this is good news. What would you add?
I think it shows a maturity of the market, which we've been talking about from a financial perspective for a while, but I think the maturity of a government to say, okay, we do want long-term employees. The other one is, you know, the potential 5-year student visa, so students being able to come and look for work while studying and then graduate and stay in the UAE and work as opposed to go somewhere else. That's a great one because a lot of people have kids and they go off to university somewhere else, they never come back. So the ability for them to do that brings the millennials into the workforce, where that's not really been a huge consideration previously.
And I mean, I know Matt deals with a sort of executive level, but Gordon, if you can, if we look at some of the things for maybe workers who are giving better guarantees, if we look at the insurance coverage now, particularly for people on lower salaries, this is definitely something that's reassuring.
Yes, absolutely. Because if you look at the bank guarantee, 3,000 dirhams, in the event of default, in the event that the individual needs access to 3,000 dirhams, it will probably cover a flight back to their country of origin. Whereas now the insurance-backed product will have a cap of 20,000 dirhams. So as you say, for a blue-collar worker or in particular, that's going to cover potentially end of service gratuity, accrued annual leave, plus an air ticket, which is a lot more advantageous than previously.
It's a considerable difference, isn't it, though? It's massive, particularly for people on lower incomes.
It is, and it's a pretty bold move by the government, because as Tim said, that's a huge figure that's being released back into the economy. 14 billion is the figure that's quoted in the press, 14 billion dirhams. I mean, that's money that's currently under the watch of the government, which has been released back into the business community. Now, the hope is that it's going to then be invested and it's going to be used positively. But you'd have to summarise it by saying it's a pretty bold move and one that's no doubt welcome in the business community.
It is a bold move, but I mean, if you look at a smaller company, what the advantage to a smaller company of 5 or 6 people, we pointed to that. But if you are a larger organisation of 100 people, for example, a medium enterprise, all of a sudden there's a few hundred thousand dirhams. That's real money that you could do, I was going to say real damage, that's not what I mean, but you know where I'm going with this, that has a real effect.
Yeah, I think there's some companies, it's usually capped, so although it's 3,000 dirhams per employee, after a certain point it'll be capped, but it can still be up to 3 million dirhams, which is held as a bank guarantee by the government. So yeah, you're right, it can be significant.
Drive Live talks careers.
We are talking careers this afternoon. We have 3 guests in the studio with us. We have Gordon Barr, who's a lawyer and partner at Altamimi & Co. We have Neil Petch, who's a chairman and founder of VirtuZone, and Matt Lewis, who's a partner of MEA Boyden. And we're talking all about visas, the new rules, what they mean for the job market here in the UAE. And I think we can go straight to the phones, actually. We have a question in for you in particular, Gordon. Bear with me 1 second. Maybe we don't have a caller there.
I get the feeling we don't. We'll try and get that in a few minutes' time.
Yeah, we will. We'll come back to that question. If we can, though, we've been talking a lot about the new visa rules. It's obviously very fresh, Gordon. It's something that we're all getting our heads around. Like you mentioned, there's no gazette yet, so we don't have the firm details. But we are seeing that there's an amnesty, which is good news for lots of people who maybe are here illegally, possibly stuck, not knowing how they'll get home. But it seems like good news for them.
Yes, and I think there's been a identification that there is an issue there. I think the statistics were that there was 13,000 people overstaying in 2016, and it's almost doubled to 2017. So I think there's a recognition that there is an issue, and that they'd like to try and resolve that, for want of a better expression, amicably or easily, with the amnesty. So there's been a couple of measures introduced whereby people who are in the country, for example, illegally, can now leave without incurring a fine, and they will receive a 2-year no entry stamp on their status, but they can obviously exit on their own head of terms, as it were. There's also a couple of other concessions that have been made around overstaying, whereby apparently there's going to now be the possibility of obtaining a 6-month visa to give an individual an opportunity to look for another role, with only a nominal fee being payable in order to get that visa, and overstay fines being waived. And other people who have overstayed can leave the country without obtaining any visa ban in the future, and also without having to pay their overstay fee. So a number of measures, and many of which are, I suppose, aligned with the year of Zayed as well, and the ethos around that. So so identification of the practical problem and trying to work out a way to resolve it with the minimum of fuss.
And do you think that there's any indication of when implementation of that will take place in particular?
Well, all these announcements have been roughly at the same time, so we anticipate that they're likely to come online around the same time. But going back to the point that we discussed before, an indication, and that's all we can mention it as such at the moment, is that we're looking at Q3 for a number of the changes.
All we know is, I can quote the Director General of the Foreign Affairs and Ports Department, that's Brigadier General Saeed Rakan al-Rashdi, and he said the beginning of the programme, the deadline for visa violators to benefit will be during the next few weeks. So as you say, over the summer perhaps.
Yes.
Q3 is the point. And the one thing we should point out is there are going to be processing centres as well, as there were, 5 years ago, I think the last amnesty was, approximately. Anna, there's going to be a telephone hotline.
Yes, and I think in terms of the amnesty period, it's looking like it's going to be the 3-month period from August to October.
Right.
Okay. That's what the indications are.
Okay. We can now speak to Shannon, hopefully. Shannon, you have a visa question, don't you?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a question about if an employee leaves the country and decides not to come back for whatever reason, due to personal illness or just personal circumstances, can their visa be canceled without their physical passport being voided and with them out of the country?
Hi, Sharon. It's Gordon
Hi.
Barr here.
Hi. Hi, Gordon.
Hi there. Yes. In short, where an individual is outside of the UAE for a 6-month period and doesn't return during that 6-month period, then there will be automatic cancellation of the visa. It quite commonly arises for a number of reasons that individuals have to leave the country for extended periods, and that's the steps that the immigration authorities will take.
Okay, is there any additional cost to a business, for example, if the visa is processed that way as opposed to, physically taking it through and getting the passport stamp?
No, there's no additional cost, and there's sometimes a misconception from an employer's perspective that an absconding report can or should be filed in those circumstances, which isn't the case. It's simply the case that the visa is cancelled as a matter of course after the 6-month period, when the individual hasn't returned to the UAE in that period of time.
So that would be for a residential visa, a residential and for a work permit, right?
Yeah, so it's the visa's cancelled and they're inextricably linked. So, yeah, there's not a separate process for each.
Okay, great.
Does that answer the question for you, Shannon?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Glad we could help. Thanks a lot, Shannon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I mean, it's interesting what Shannon was discussing, because lots of different reasons can mean lead people to be out of the country. It could be a sudden illness in the family. It could be a change in circumstance, and also people who maybe perhaps aren't enjoying the work they're doing and they've decided to pack up and leave. So there are options for the employer here, because obviously it's taking up a visa.
The last one was very diplomatically put, because, yeah, quite often people will flee for one of a number of reasons, and the employer is desperate to have them back to get the visa cancelled. And it is put out at the fact that they have to wait 6 months before you can go through the automatic cancellation process.
And there's nothing you can do, is there, if somebody does, for want of a better expression, do a runner, as it's known, there's nothing you can do for 6 months. Is there any way you could prove, I suppose there isn't. You have to wait, don't you?
There is if the person's in country, in which case an absconding report
sure,
can
but
be
if
filed.
They, but if they left the country,
correct.
Then...
that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we're just going to have a break from careers for 1 second.
Dubai Eye 103.8.
Keeping you across the 2018 World Cup.
So the 4 o'clock game today is, of course, Colombia-Japan. Colombia have just equalised. It's 1-1 after 39 minutes. Juan Quintero has scored for Colombia, equalising. Colombia, of course, down to one man.
Goal update
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Sorry, was that, what did I say?
I think you said down to one man.
Oh,
thinking
they were down one man.
They've
down
just drawn level with, yeah, one man on the pitch. Yeah. That's a remarkable turn.
I was so close to doing a perfect sports update there.
You were. It's
very
interesting,
close.
This, though, because they, yeah, took Juan Cuadrado off, so attacking midfielder off. They took a more defensive approach, and then the one man left
look
on the field
happened.
Scored.
Yeah.
Juan Quintero was the scorer there.
Goal scorer there. Yes, we are talking careers on Drive Live, as well as World Cup. But I guess one of the things we wanted to explore today, Neil and Matt, this might be something that applies to you and you guys will know a bit about. If we come to you first of all, Matt, do you think these current rules is something that we'll see mirrored across the region? Because, of course, we're making the UAE and Dubai in particular more attractive.
Yeah, I think so. As it gets more competitive, there's a good chance that you will see a follow suit in other countries. Probably the last 18 months, we've seen a big increase in people looking at roles and opportunities in Saudi. So to a degree, there has been a bit of a brain drain that's gone on.
Mm.
So ultimately, to level the playing field, to use a football pun, I think we will have a little bit more cooperation with countries looking to have labour move across, probably in particular between UAE and Saudi as being the main ones that are collaborating at the moment.
And Neil, would you say that's something that you're hearing anecdotally at least as well?
Yeah, I'd hear it. There's, you know, always pros and cons. I was with a Frizan this morning and they were talking about doing a roadshow to Saudi Arabia specifically because whilst we expect great things out of the kingdom in the next 10 years, there's always going to be a massive opportunity where Dubai serves as a hub. So for, in my opinion, every company and every person that moves across the border, there's going to be 10 coming in to serve that. And what I think Dubai and the UAE is doing to stay ahead is it's really its way of thinking. So coming back to what we were talking about earlier, in the olden days, one might have to catch a plane, sit on an island for a day and then come back. Mm. There was no benefit to that, to the environment or to the government coffers, really. Now we're making things happen faster. We're having employees that are happier to be working here, and all these things are good.
That's an interesting point, you know, because it is a change in thinking. It is a bold move. Those were the words that you used, of course, Gordon. And it is, there's a certain sort of dynamism to this, isn't there? Clearly the government looking at thinking, right, we want to do this, we want to move things on, we want to keep moving, we want to be dynamic, we want to be competitive. And I guess at some point, Matt, that kind of filters down to the market and the, yep, confidence that we feel and how we approach going to work.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're always going to have a situation where regulation gets in the way, red tape gets in the way, and that's always been a complaint in emerging markets. And, you know, as we all know, anyone who's been here a long time, everything used to be paper-based, everything used to take days. You'd have to go to 15 different apartments to get something done. In the last 2 years, it's all gone online. A visa run was a fact of life, and it could just disappear. You know, so that was one of the things you just took for granted. At some point, your passport will go off to Oman every couple of weeks. You know, and I think that's the ease of business that Dubai is taking on to ensure that it attracts, you know, global talent, retains global talent and companies.
And I mean, I guess, are you rubbing your hands together now thinking there's going to be lots of people, lots of really well-qualified people now looking at the UAE going, well, this is somewhere I could spend a long time for, because it's not somewhere any longer people are thinking it might be 2 years, 3 years. They're going to be coming to you every 2 years looking for a new role.
Yeah, I wish it worked that way. It doesn't, sadly. where it does benefit is probably in 80% of cases, we're bringing people into the region for the first time, either from the US or Europe or Asia. So that transparency and that ability to take a long-term view around their children's schooling, around their investments, around buying property, it doesn't then become a sort of short-term make some money and go home option. It comes out, I can actually relocate for a long period and serve all of my family for with that security and stability. So it makes the attraction easier in the conversation, as opposed to the assumption that, 2 years, 3 years visa and I'm gone again.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a sense of reassurance in having this 6 month grace period. If for whatever reason it goes wrong in a job, it's not a case of pulling your children out of school, the wife's visa being cancelled. There is room, Gordon, for people to stay if they have a change in circumstance.
Yes, I mean, that's probably one of the biggest bugbears of employees who are the subject of a reduction in headcount, and unfortunately are made redundant, that the immigration system as such gives them 30 days from the termination date of their employment. 30 days from the termination date of the employment before the visa needs to be cancelled, which, as you say, when you have children in schooling and so forth, it can, dependent upon the timing, can prove problematic for them in terms of transitional arrangements and so forth. So if that change to give the 6 month visa is one which is open to the vast majority of the expat population, then it's going to be welcomed with open arms, because unfortunately we are in an environment as well where businesses, dependent upon the sector, are cutting back. So there are going to be people who are in that position who would be grateful of that additional time to try and find alternative employment.
We are talking careers. We have three guests with us today. We have a couple of questions that have come in, but I'm just wondering if we can, let me just see now, if we can look at, we talked about the rest of the region a few minutes ago, and we're talking about whether it's going to see a change. Are people going to get really competitive in terms of jobs? And I guess, Gordon, from your perspective, until now, until these changes, have you had lots of people knocking at the door with visa issues needing your help?
Most of our practice is an employment practice and a business immigration practice, so we wouldn't tend to get involved with employees and issues with visas. That would tend to more be the domain of PRO service companies who deal with processing requirements and the like. I mean, I think the rigidity that's inbuilt in the immigration system, though, is an issue, generally speaking. It sometimes doesn't cater flexibly enough for certain situations. The obvious one is where you have somebody coming in to do work for short periods of time. You've either got an employment visa, or often you have a tourist visa, and sometimes there's not much by way of flexibility in between. So that type of dynamic does cause issues. But I think going back to the latest changes that have been announced, I think that, and we've talked about them being positive, but they're positive because they show an appreciation of the fact that there could be done with being a relaxation in that rigidity that's inbuilt into the system. So, everything's positive that's coming out so far. So,
And Neil, would you say, of course, it sounds like it could be an exciting time for people coming here. Do you think that there is probably room now for other changes in terms of visas that could make things even easier?
Absolutely. I think that the first thing that this shows is a desire to re-engineer processes, which has already been established. I think the second point is getting as many people as possible to see how brilliant the UAE is. So the fact that transit visas, the first 48 hours are free, it's very easy to extend for 50 dirhams, that gets more people in more easily. Once you're in on a tourist visa and you found a job, you can now transfer to actually having an employment visa without having to exit the country. So there are these old rigorous processes that actually had no benefit. So those have changed. And what I'm looking forward to now, you know, the 10-year visa has obvious benefits for the property market. So you saw the shares in Emaar and so on rise as a result of that news. Those very powerful industries, of course, need to be supported. But the one that I would argue the most on behalf of course, is the startup community. And that traditionally doesn't have a lobby group. But we have, the government has shown that it's trying to make things easier. And in order to do that, it needs to move away from some of the old revenue streams, such as attestation and the stamping of documents that you mentioned earlier, Matt. And it's already started to do that, and I'm sure that there's more coming. I have a few forecasts as to how how that will be that you can pin me on later. But
we're recording this, so just be aware.
So, you know, in the traditional method, someone would want, where's your office? Do you have an office? If you don't have a great big office, you're not a great big company. Where's the 100,000 dirhams in your bank account? These things are not actually necessary. We need to make people be able to have global premises all over, not just in the UAE. And they can do that, of course, using technology. You can help people set up a bank account very quickly that doesn't have the range and the raft of services that banks offer once you've established more of the due diligence. So letting someone set up straight away, get started at a low risk methodology using technology is possible. So those are the things that are going to come through.
I'm just thinking, sorry, Anatia, I mean, we essentially know this is not gazetted, so this is not speculation. These are these changes have been announced, so we know that 60 dirhams a worker instead of a 3,000 dirham bank guarantee. That's an insurance situation. You can look for a job under a 6-month visa. You don't have to change the country when you're changing a visa. Tourist visas are free for the first 48 hours. The goal is that it should be slightly easier to do business if you take some of the red tape away to hire staff here. But one of the things that we haven't mentioned is it's also a change in attitudes, in that the UAE has traditionally been a transient society to a great extent, in that expatriates, it's heavily expatriate in much of the workforce. People come for a set amount of time. More and more over the last, you can attest to this, Neil, I know, 20, 25 years, people are wanting to stay. You see the attraction. But there's a definite push in that direction, I think. And you're encouraging people to stay, to put roots down, almost. But certainly in business terms, to put roots down, aren't you?
Absolutely. We're just about to celebrate some of the companies that set up with us entering their 10th year of operation. And it's those companies that start taking more employees and just start to expand. Of course, that means that Carrefour sells more product, more cinema tickets are sold. And that's the general stuff that we want to get started, that the government has recognized. And those are going to be the biggest benefits to the majority of people listening to this now.
And just very briefly, Gordon, Tarek asks, if someone loses a job and your visa is expiring around the corner, maybe the next couple of weeks, do we know at this stage, would they have to, again, go and pay for another medical and Emirates ID? Would that be the case, or is that something that we're not quite sure of yet?
This is at the present time of a visa. So these changes haven't been implemented as yet.
Yeah. So once this comes into effect, let's say you know that you'll have 6 months on this visa. Are we at this stage sure? Tarek wants to know, will then you have to go and do your medical again in the same way that you would for a visa? I guess these are details that are yet to emerge.
Yes. I mean, it would it would depend upon the individual circumstances. Yeah, and we don't have that level of detail yet in order to address that question. I mean, it would operate no doubt as a, because it's in respect of an overstay, so it would operate as a renewal, and therefore you would need to go and get your medical done in the same way that you would need to get a medical done for any other type of renewal. I'd anticipate.
Okay, Tariq, we'll try and keep you posted on that.
I also think that it's exciting that in theory you can get your medical done in another country. You know, what we're trying to do is obviously make sure that the country here is safe,
yeah,
but trying to make it as easy as possible for people to come here quickly. We want to beat Singapore. We want to make it easier for people to come and set up here than in Singapore. And as such, you don't want a businessman to have to stay for a week whilst he's waiting for his medical results and his visa to come through. So we're starting to see these things happen as well.
Matt, you're nodding your head in agreement there. Makes your life a lot easier telling people to come if the process to get them here and set up and started is a lot more straightforward.
It's a lot easier to go through and position, because that's the things that people don't understand when they arrive. So if you can say, listen, it's much easier, you can do everything remotely or online, it's not going to be difficult, it's got to be a good thing.
Okay, that's all we've got time for on Drive Live Talks Careers today. Thank you to our guests. Matt Lewis, who you just heard there, is a partner at ME Boyden. Thank you very much for coming on the programme.
Pleasure.
Thank you also to Neil Petch, who's the chairman and founder at Virtuzone. Good to have you on again.
Thanks, Natalie.
And also Gordon Barr, who's a lawyer and partner at Al-Tamimi & Co. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.